Our next case this morning is number 064194, the United States against Larry Stewart. Mr. Stengel.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Attorney Pat Stengel. I represent Larry Stewart in this appeal. The only viable issue after Rita is the issue of the reasonableness of the sentence imposed in the district court in light of the 3553A factors. And there are a number of factors that we argue that the court did not meaningfully consider when it imposed this sentence. We make the argument that the level of Mr. Stewart's cooperation, which it's our contention far exceeded that of the normal acceptance of responsibility that an individual gets for pleading guilty and not acting in a way inconsistent with that, was a factor which should have been considered by the court. We point out in the brief that this level of cooperation included Mr. Stewart turning himself into the federal government. He waived his Miranda rights, admitted to his extensive involvement in distributing crack cocaine, pled guilty, and in addition made an extensive proffer of his criminal conduct. Secondly, as it relates to the history and characteristics of the defendant, we argued in the district court that the harsh deprivation which Mr. Stewart suffered growing up and his limited educational ability were factors that, when taken in totality, warranted a sentence which we argued to the court of 15 years was a reasonable sentence which set forth factors and supported the factors of sentencing under 3553A. And the reason his eighth grade education, he dropped out of school when he was in ninth grade, is important because one of the factors is that the court considered needed educational or vocational training in the most effective manner. That issue was not addressed by the district court. When a district court imposes an advisory guideline sentence, and an in-guideline sentence is presumed to be reasonable, however, that is a rebuttable presumption. A district court cannot have its thumb on the scale in favor of a guideline sentence. And in this case, the court did. And the court stated, as it relates to the proposed 15-year sentence by the defense, that it was a low-ball sentence, that you would never see that type of sentence out of this court. The court virtually foreclosed any other sentencing option when it specifically stated that, excuse me, the sentence now imposed will be the only sentence that this court will be considering. And that's at page 13 of the sentencing transcript, appendix at page 19. The court then went on to say that nothing in this case suggests a sentence other than a high guideline sentence.
Did the district court ever talk about your client's cooperation?
Not other than the fact that he was getting acceptance of responsibility, the three-point reduction in the advisory guideline
range.
Well, he
did say something at the end here about when you come back again later on, don't expect to do any better.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, he did, Your Honor. In after he said it was the only sentence that the court was going to consider, it said, except if you come back essentially pursuant to a Rule 35.
He did not consider imposing the present sentence. Cooperation already given.
Correct.
Never talked about that.
Correct. But he did say don't expect anything if you come back in a Rule 35, essentially, because I'll remember the conduct that you got. But I think that
get your hopes up.
Correct. But I think the fact that the court said this is the only sentence that the court will be considering indicates that he didn't consider any other viable option for sentencing as he's required under 3553.
Or he did consider it and discarded it.
Very, very quickly discarded it, well, if he considered it.
There's nothing about speed in there.
No.
You have to slow down and give a lot of reflective thought to it. Just consider it.
I understand the court's point. But I think the factors laid out as it relates to what exactly the court said substantiates that the sentence is not reasonable and should not be afforded a presumption of reasonableness in this particular case under these particular circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll hear now from Ms. Rumblow.
Good morning, Your Honors. Rita Rumblow from the Western District of Wisconsin. I represent the United States in this matter. The record is clear in this case that Judge Shabazz did consider the 3553A argument made by Mr. Stewart at sentencing. He considered it carefully. He considered the fact that Mr. Stewart did suffer from a horrible childhood. But Judge Shabazz also recognized that Mr. Stewart had done nothing to try to learn from prior criminal justice sentences and move forward with his life, and that instead he distributed almost 2 kilograms of crack cocaine in Beloit, Wisconsin. Judge Shabazz did indicate that he would consider cooperation only if and when the United States filed a substantial assistance motion, and as set forth in the written plea agreement in this case, the decision whether to file such a motion rested entirely within the discretion of the United States Attorney's Office, and even if we did file such a motion, Judge Shabazz was not required to grant it. So with respect to the fact that Mr. Stewart turned himself in and cooperated with police, again, he did receive a 3-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility. So this sentence is presumed reasonable, and defendant Stewart has not shown that it is unreasonable in any way. Again, the record shows that Judge Shabazz carefully considered the mitigating factors. Judge Shabazz definitely understood that the defendant was asking for a 15-year sentence, and he just said that such a sentence wouldn't be meaningful in this case, considering Mr. Stewart's history and characteristics, his background, and again, the fact that he had distributed almost 2 kilograms of crack cocaine. Judge Shabazz found that that amount was off the charts. The sentencing arguments in this case were very similar to those in Rita. They were straightforward, conceptually simple, and defendant Stewart, again, has not proven that his sentence was unreasonable in this case, and we ask that the court affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rumblow. You have 3.5 minutes, Mr. Stang.
I'll be brief. But what I would respectfully submit to the court is that the 3553A factors are not to be just considered, but they're to be meaningfully considered. And what do we have except for the record of the sentencing hearing and the judge's own words as it relates to his consideration of other potential sentences rather than merely imposing a guideline sentence without considering another potential sentence? And I have to go back to the words of the court. And the court said, and so accordingly, the court at this time does believe that the sentence now announced will be the only sentence that this court will be considering. Unless, of course, there is a return to this court for that substantial assistance which you may be involved in. That in is our position that makes this particular sentence unreasonable and not should not be afforded the presumption of reasonableness as approved by the Supreme Court in Rita. We'd ask that the court reverse and remand the matter back to the district court for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Stengel, you served by appointment of the court, and you have the deep thanks of the court for having taken the appointment and for the fine service you've provided your client.
Thank you very much.
Indeed, our thanks to all counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.